Thank you. Bless your hearts. Listen, I have something to share with you today that's going to require a bit of attention. And I hope that you'll be, I don't know, perhaps note-taking. Do people still do that? Okay. Good. Yeah, you do. All right, super. Listen. I received a call on Tuesday. I got back into the country late Monday night. Got a call Tuesday night from the mountainous regions of the northwest of the United States. It was a happy birthday call, I'm pretty sure. The person calling was transiting through the mountainous roads from their office to their home. So you know where the story is going. Hello? Hello? Deep. Hello, you've reached the voicemail. Boop. So I hang up and find out they had reached my voicemail because they were trying to call me back while I was trying to call them. And so we go through this dial and redial thing probably 8 or 9 times in 4 or 5 minutes. And to add to the complication, I'm trying to listen because I know this person. I know why they're calling. But it's like, you know, those things. You're catching a syllable here and there. Don't you love modern technology? Now, here I am genuinely trying to listen to somebody wish me happy birthday. Because I find that sometimes the issue of listening can be very, very challenging. Now, contrast that with the opportunities when you don't want to hear. Have any of you ever operated what they call the mute button on a remote control? Isn't that a wonderful device? Why is it that, have you ever watched young children when the commercial comes on, they stop and turn because the volume goes up because it's a commercial? I don't want to listen to that stuff. I don't actually want to hear. And if you call right now, you get a free, second, cheaply made, good-for-nothing piece of drawer junk absolutely free. I don't want to hear that. I don't want to know, well, you know, they're just commercials that ought not be on television as far as I'm concerned. But I found out something that long before I knew what a remote controller was, yes, little people, there are some of us here like that, I had a mute button, and I used it frequently. And you could always tell when the mute button was on because it would sound something like this. I'm sorry. My mind wandered. Could you repeat that, please? Any of you ever operate your mute button? I've had a few embarrassing situations in classrooms, particularly when the professor was one of those who, in the process of saying hello, welcome, could put you to sleep. You know, you ever had any of those professors? And when they're teaching math, when they're like that and teaching math to boot, just shoot me now, please. But there are times when you want to listen intently and carefully with the intention of obeying. Now, where I grew up in the woods of South Alabama, we didn't have high dive boards like you see at the Olympics. Aren't those amazing? Those people go 3 or 4 stories up in the air, and then they just sort of do stuff, and then the goal is to hit the water without moving any of the water. Okay? So here I am in water survival training. I'm up 3 stories above the pool. Now, I don't know why it's okay for me to fly, but not okay for me to climb water towers. It's just different for some reason. So here's a South Alabama boy standing there being instructed on how to depart the deck of an aircraft carrier that's on fire into water that has burning fuel on it. Okay? Now, I'm listening carefully, intently, with the intention of obeying. So they tell you to walk up to the edge, cross your arms, pinch your nose with either hand. How do I keep them crossed and pinched? You're wondering these things. Step off into space and cross your legs so that you enter the water straight up. Now, how do you do that? Watch the horizon, because if you look down, you're going to land face first onto the water. If you look up, you're going to land on your back onto the water. The goal is to watch the horizon until you enter the water. How many of you know when you're 3 stories up, you're about to step off into space, you're listening carefully, intently, with the intention of obeying? I was glad when that part was over. But don't you think it would be motivating if when you came to listen to a sermon, you knew that any moment now you would be required to cross your arms, pinch your nose, step off, going at risk with the Holy Spirit, and keeping your eyes on the Lord? Wouldn't that be motivating? Gosh, if I'd have thought about this, we could have had church on the roof, climb the ladder, you know, just sort of add to the reality of the need to listen carefully, attentively, with the intention of obeying. Now, let's suppose for a moment that you and I actually believed that God still speaks. Did you know that there are Christians, there are whole theological treatises on the fact that God no longer speaks, we can only know Him through the written word? Did you know that? Which is of no benefit to all to people who can't read and don't have access to the Bible. You know, I read that stuff and I think to myself, you people need to get out more. Because long before there was the written word, there was the living word communicating to the spirits and the hearts of God's people. Okay? So, I want us to suppose that the Holy Spirit still actually speaks. And that one of the reasons we gather where someone is teaching or preaching is because we actually expect to hear something. Is that unreasonable? You know, I'm amazed at the number of things I've learned simply by listening. And I occasionally will wonder, what is it I might have learned if I'd have listened more carefully? How many of you understand what an electronic doggy bag is? At the seminars and conferences, they invite you to buy them. You can get the entire set of these teachings for. Now, I do that from time to time because there will be presentations in which I know I'm receiving something and missing a great deal more. And so I'll go back over them again and again and again. And sure enough, it's like understanding is layered. There's what you first hear, which is often only what you thought you heard, which wasn't actually said because of your filters. How many of you know you have filters? I was visiting with a woman and her husband and son over in Ukraine. Serendipitously, they showed up at the same place where I was ministering and found out that they came to the United States about 12 years ago to co-pastor a Russian-speaking church in New Hampshire. They were very fluent in English, almost like it was now their first language. But she made this observation that in the Ukraine, if you speak with an accent, they think you're dumb. But in the United States, if you speak with an accent, they think you're twice as smart. So, I speak with a southern accent once I get south of the North Carolina border. And Svetlana talks English funny all the time, so which ones are smarter? All right. I want to provoke us today on how to listen. How to listen for the voice of the Lord and what's being taught. I'm going to use several scriptures today. The scriptures themselves are to illustrate a point, but it's quite possible that God might say something to you in the scripture that I'm not saying. Do you understand? Because the word has power to meet you where you are. That's the thing about preaching that so fascinates me. The Bible calls it the foolishness of preaching. I'll quote that later. But the idea that you could stand up and say something and God would speak, that's kind of intimidating, you know? But exhilarating at the same time. I'll tell you the truth. I've actually been preaching and heard me say things that were not in my notes. I thought, I need to write that down. I think I just heard from the Lord. Because this stuff can come to you on a whim. It can be in the title of a song. It can be a line from a poem. It can be something you overhear at a coffee shop and you know God's speaking to you as you happen to hear what somebody else... Y'all know what I'm saying? The Lord is constantly trying to communicate. But sometimes... because we didn't really hear what was just said. Has that ever happened to you? You know, the pastor or the teacher looks at you and says, so what do you think about that? And you kind of go, hit the mute button. I'm sorry, my mind wandered. Could you repeat that, please? All right, let's take a look at just a few things to provoke us about what's coming starting on March the 20th. Now, here is one of the things that is so frustrating about having a king who rules a kingdom in which you participate. He is not up for re-election, and he doesn't seek your counsel on how to order his own house. Don't you find that frustrating? If God would only listen to you. I think we call that prayer. But Paul gives this summary statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. He says, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, etc. First apostles, then prophets, then teachers. Now, Paul says that God has appointed these first, second, third, etc. Would you rearrange that list if you were doing it? Isn't that an interesting thought? See, some of us would put working of miracles first because that's a lot of fun. And some of us have had such bad experiences with teachers, we're not even sure we'd put them on the list. You ever had a bad teacher? Ever had a bad teacher with tenure? Yes, well. But here's something to make note of in 1 Corinthians chapter 1. That preaching, which is considered foolishness, as a function is more an issue of the hearer than the teller. Okay? For since the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not come to know God. Did not come to know God. But God was well pleased through the foolishness of the message preached. Through the foolishness of the message preached to save souls. Peter stands up on the day of Pentecost. He recounts some history. He ties some contemporary news articles to it. And they go, yikes! Men and brethren, what shall we do? And he said, repent, be baptized, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Because he said something. And somewhere in that interaction, the Holy Spirit does this thing called conviction. Now, in chapter 2 of 1 Corinthians, Paul says, we do speak wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom not of this age, but we speak God's wisdom in a mystery. This issue of the mystery of God continues to derail me from time to time. I find that there are just some things the Lord is not willing to share with me, and there are other things that He shares with me, I have no idea what to do with them. They just sit there for a long, long time, and then one day you go, oh, that's what that's about. You ever had one of those mornings when the Lord speaks to you, impresses upon you, however it is He communicates with you, and you get the idea that this is important, and you don't know what to do with it? And then somewhere around 10:30, you bump into someone who asks a question for which you have received the answer that morning and didn't even know what the question was? That happens to me a lot. Not everything we receive from the Lord is for us, but it is through us. That kind of puts a little expectation in your day. Now, at the close of this passage, verse 10, he says, to us, God revealed them through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. In verse 12, he reminds us that we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Now, that's an interesting phrase to me, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Have you ever had occasion to be in a conversation about the things of God in the presence of someone who doesn't know God? What have they called you? Weird is one of the ones I hear. Boy, you people are weird, you know. And then they assault the idea that God actually intervenes in the affairs of men. I had a friend, an acquaintance more, back when I was in the Navy. We were drilling reservists. He was some kind of, worked for some government agency doing spooky stuff. And we found one another, discovered we were believers, and began to have casual fellowship. And he was telling me, I'd recommended some book to him. He got it. He was reading it on a trip with his boss. They were on a plane going someplace. The boss comes by, asks, what you reading? He shows him the title, whatever it was. Oh, God stuff, huh? Well, let me tell you how I feel about God. God is just some big primordial slug who crawled across the universe, crapping as he went. And he left us in this world of crap and kept going on his way, and he's not coming back to help anybody. Now, that was a theology I'd never really entertained. But I can hear the frustration and the bitterness in that description, you know. And it's very, very difficult to actually engage people who are entrenched in that kind of idea with words. That's one of the reasons demonstrations of spirit and power are so important, because they show the natural mind something that cannot be explained away. You know, when the one who could not walk rises up and walks, how do you explain that?
Well, just psychosomatic. They could have walked any time they wanted to.
Yeah, tell them that. This this issue of spiritual thoughts and spiritual words can only be resolved for me in the reality of the Spirit of God, that there's an actual activity of the Lord involved in what we're doing right now. Some of you will take notes on, well, you need to assess who is speaking. You know, not everyone who purports to speak for the Lord merits my attention, because some of the things they say I know are absolutely inconsistent with what I know God to be. And so, you know, the Lord bless them where they are, take them where they need to be, but keep them away from me. Then there are others who challenge my thinking. You know, one of the marks of maturity, as far as I'm concerned, is your ability to entertain someone who has the same spirit but a different point of view without judging them, but giving the interaction opportunity to refine your own thinking. I was talking with somebody yesterday who had engaged a conversation with a person of importance in their life. And they discovered in the process of the dialogue that they were moving from what the pastor had told them into what they actually believed about what the pastor told them. You understand what I'm saying? There is a point in our life when we don't know how to think, we don't know what to think, and so we repeat what we were told to think. But somewhere in the process of maturation, you must find your own voice. That thing which you knew to be true about you in your understanding of who God is in your life. Now, it sometimes takes a while for that to happen. And part of the way it happens is when you get outside of your comfort zone and let those who don't know you assail your ideas from their point of view. Do you understand what I mean by that? If you need help, think about it like this. Go to the family reunion, sit at the table, bring up God, and watch the food fight unfold. Because people are in very different places about this. Now, it's not necessary that you have a relationship between you and the speaker. How many of you know sometimes radio preachers actually say something worth hearing? Not often, but occasionally. And I keep thinking the Lord's going to punish me for my attitude and put me on the radio, and that would be such a humiliating experience. Oh, now here's an interesting thing. How regularly do you listen without hearing? Okay? How many of you wives know your husbands have the capacity to listen without hearing? Oh, don't start? Okay. All right. I'll back away from that one slowly. Nobody will get hurt. But there is a discipline of intentionality in listening. For instance, how many of you are still prayer journaling? You're still prayer journaling. Okay? What's the point? You expect God to say something. This is not Dear Diary. This is, Father, what would you tell me about this? And then you listen. You tune to flow. You imagine Jesus. You relax your spirit. You wait for the thoughts of God through the Holy Spirit to come to you, and then you write them down. There's an intentionality in that. How many of you move prophetically? You speak on behalf of the Lord to others. Okay, what is that? That's intentional listening. You have an ear attuned to the spirit realm because you know God wants to speak a word of comfort and strength and encouragement to somebody, and you've discovered you have the capacity, the grace, as it were, to engage that process on his behalf with another. Genuine listening has to be intentional. In James chapter 1, for instance, he gives this exhortation. Many of you know this one. It says, "This you know, my beloved brethren, but everyone must be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger." One of the reasons I cannot watch MNBC, CNN, I'm not slow to anger when I listen to them. Okay? They are vehemently committed to things I will oppose to my last breath. But it's also almost impossible for me to listen to Bill Riley anymore. You know why? Nobody listens to anybody anymore. They shout at one another, talk over one another, and I'm just frustrated by the process because I'd actually like to learn something about the issue. So now I'm reduced to reading experts rather than listening to talking heads because the reading of experts provokes my thinking. The others just irritate me. I keep saying, why don't you just shut up and let them talk? You know, 20 million viewers getting that kind of modeling helps me understand why we can't communicate anymore. Quick to hear, slow to speak. How many of you realize that being quick to hear does not necessarily equate to being slow to speak? I have a good friend who is committed to refining my understanding in communication. And he will say to me in the course of our conversations when I have responded to what he didn't say, I didn't say that. What did I say? Well, I heard you. Well, yeah, but that's not what I said. Okay? Listen to me. Now repeat it back to me. That's what I said. It has to be that intentional, right? How many of you are trying to teach your 2 and 3-year-old to listen to you? Isn't that a wonderful learning experience? Don't you just love that? Yeah. And they play us. I love that part. The toy is right there. You want them to pick that toy up and put it in that box 2 steps away. And they can't find it. That one. But picture of working with adults who refuse or are incapable of hearing any voice but their own. Oh, I love this business. Now, when James is talking about this, being quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, he goes on to say, in humility, receive the word implanted, which will be able to save your soul from whatever that particular word will supply remedy. I have been instructed by people I would not choose to hear, but their critique of the dynamic in play was so penetrating I was forced to submit to their word because I recognized that truth in light of my own personal deceit. Y'all know what that's like? Don't you hate it when your mother-in-law nails you because she's right? Maybe you don't know that experience. Now, listen to what he says. But prove yourselves. Now, we have an extraordinary capacity to extend to us grace we would never give to anybody else. It sounds like this. You judge others on their behavior. You judge yourself on your intentions. Let me put my glasses back on and see how that went over. That's what I thought. Prove yourselves doers of the word and not merely hearers. Because when you agree, you know, this is funny to me. People who've never been in this congregation walk in the door and they'll tell me afterward, man, that was a great word today. What do they mean by that? Most of them will add the explanation. That's exactly what I believe. Now, if I happen to be preaching something that day that stretches them beyond what they believe, it's not such a great word, is it? All right? And prove yourselves how? By being doers of the word, not merely hearers who delude themselves by agreeing with it and doing nothing with it. Aren't you glad you came this morning? Listen, it's real easy to camp and be comfortable and totally miss out on what God's doing. And I'm committed to us not living there. Someone should write us a course about uncomfortable. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks at his natural face in the mirror. And once he's looked at himself and gone away, he's immediately forgotten what kind of person he is. It's amusing to me, and it's not just women. Teenage boys are equally bad, and all males from time to time will glance at a mirror. But it's amusing to me to walk with some of the young ladies within my sphere of influence and make note they cannot pass a reflective surface without looking at it. Am I the only one that observes this? It just tickles. Now, what I find amusing for me is when I look in the mirror and I don't see what I expect to see. See, I have this idea of what I look like. It's like this. You come in from a windy day, and then you happen to come across a reflective surface, and what do you see? Not what you expected to see, because that's not what you saw earlier. Let me fix this. Right? Right? Deluding themselves by assuming they are one thing, when in fact they're presenting themselves as something else entirely. Now, he concludes in verse 25 by saying this. One who looks intently at the perfect law, the law of liberty, and abides by it, not having become a forgetful hearer, but an effective doer, this man will be blessed in what he's doing. Now, when James is using the word hearer here, calling the one who listens but does not respond, he's talking about one who does not have or intends to put into practice what they hear. You know any believers like that sitting nearby you, perhaps clothed in your garments? Oh, I tell you, he's messing today. He's getting way too personal. I read a line in a book on leadership coaching by Tony Stolfus that really captured my attention. He said this, when you listen, you imitate God. And when you pray, do you expect God to listen? He may not give you the answer you want, but by God, he better listen. Or are you just praying to hear yourself talk? No, you expect God to listen. When I read that line, it just so captured me, because I understand that to be true about the God I serve. He listens. In fact, he's listened to me on days he should have just opened up the earth and swallowed me to get me shut up. But he listens. And so there's an intentionality in the way we should be responding to what the Spirit of God is speaking to us that means listen. Now, when James says that the one who hears but doesn't do is deluding himself, it raises a question for me. What am I supposed to do with what I think I heard? I think that the word that best serves my understanding is submit. How many of you know what submit means? Place yourself under. You know, it's an act of your will. You place yourself under whatever that word is, and you allow it to rule you in that instant. For you to be in a heated exchange, and remember, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. How many of you know that can save your life in that moment? Submitting to these impulses of the Holy Spirit are designed to train us to respond to His leadership. Now, I want to look at something that's uncomfortable, but then we're already uncomfortable, so let's just get into it. It's in Matthew chapter 13, verse 15. Christ says, "For the heart of this people has become dull, and with their ears they scarcely hear, and they've closed their eyes. Otherwise, they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their heart, and return, and I would heal them." But instead, what have they done? They've become dull. How do you become dull? By failing to listen and refusing to see. What is the condition of a person like that? They've seen all they're willing to see, and they have heard all they're willing to hear. They have made a decision that I will not go any farther than this with the Lord on this issue. I remember a man in a little town, a little Baptist church, where we were attending while I was in the university. And this was a nice fellow, and he taught a Sunday school class that I attended, and I really enjoyed him as a teacher and as a person. But there was this phenomenon that would happen to him, and it was so strikingly different that it captured my attention. He would be in a situation where the issue of tithing would come up. Now, I'm going to try and just do some body experience. So here he is teaching, you know, and he's engaging us, and he's talking about the Word and pulling things out of us. But if he was in the presence of someone who began to talk about tithing, here's what would happen. He would close his Bible, cross his legs, put it down, lean on it, and turn into another person. I didn't understand back then what I was looking at. Here was a man who had heard all he was going to hear on that subject. He had made his decision not to be a tither, and he refused to listen to anything from Scripture that had anything to do with that issue, and I don't know why. But it was striking to me that he became a different person on that issue. Do you have issues like that in your life? You just absolutely refuse to talk about it with the Lord? I wonder how long you can get away with that. It's just a thought. Now, Christ goes on to say in verse 16, he says this about those kind of people, and then he contrasts it with another kind of person. He says, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears because they hear." Now, what's the difference? See, this word here for ear and hear, he says, "Blessed are your eyes because they see, and your ears," that is, the ability to perceive with the mind and understand. It's not just the fact that most of us have one each on each side. It's not that you have ears. It's that you have the ability to perceive and understand with the intention of hearing, which means to give heed and obey. Jesus says there are those who can no longer perceive because they refuse to obey. But there is an obedience that increases perception. It's the mercy of God. You hear me say this frequently. It's the mercy of God that He doesn't show you more than you already know. Because if he shows you what he knows you are absolutely not going to obey, then he will have to judge you for that disobedience in response to the revelation you refuse to receive. But if you become a person who responds to his revelation, you demonstrate your trustworthiness and increase in your capacity to receive spiritual revelation. Does that make sense to you? I understand it to be true from having lived it. Consider this simple statement. John chapter 14, he says, "If you love me, you will obey my commands." Now, is it possible to sing, "Oh, how I love Jesus," and live in disobedience? "Oh, how I love Jesus," and not do what he says? "Oh, how I love Jesus, but I'm through listening to him on a daily basis because he first loved me." Is there any inconsistency in that? Yeah. See, we think that the Lord would not ask us to do anything that would make us uncomfortable. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. He will never force himself upon you. I don't know where you got that, but get rid of it. This is the same God that will throw somebody in a whale's belly to get his point across. Okay. I would call that a bit intrusive. How about you? "Well, that's just rude." Take it up with the boss. Jesus says, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments." Now, here's what else he says about that. "He who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and do what?" Hello up there. I'm looking for another verse. We'll bring them coffee later. Oh! "He who loves me will be loved by my Father," and what? Now, what do you suppose that means? Obviously, someone is here under protest. You know, I was in an airport the other day, and this little child was just, could not be comforted. Okay? Now, I timed the trip from when I pulled out of my driveway, which means I'd been up a few hours, I had packed this, that, and the other. But from the time I pulled out of my driveway till I got to my hotel room was 27 hours and 15 minutes. Now, I looked at that little inconsolable child with a certain amount of envy, because I was tired and cranky too. It's just socially unacceptable to behave that way at my age. But I felt like throwing one of those. I will disclose myself to him. Does that sound to you like, if you will engage the Lord's word to you, you will know more about who he is? Does it sound like an invitation that if you want to know God more, then do God's bidding? Does it sound like that? Now, see, you get to decide. Paul Cain said this once in my presence, and it was kind of like, whoa, never thought of it like that. He said, "You are as close to God right now as you wish to be." So, where's the problem in your relationship with God? Just a thought. Is it possible that you might actually be aided if someone were to hear you say what you say God said to you? The answer is yes. Is it possible that you could be aided by telling someone what you say God said to you? What an intelligent bunch of people this early in the morning. I'm just so blessed by you. There's a testimonial given of the prophet Samuel in which the scripture says, God did not let one of his words fall to the ground. Okay? But they're insightful little pieces of the relationship between God and the prophet Samuel. On one occasion, this widow was coming to him, and I've got the wrong prophet. God comes to Samuel and says, this is the one I told you about yesterday that I was going to send to you. Now, Samuel's out chasing donkeys because they escaped. He's out looking for them. You find all this conversation about, well, let's go see the prophet. You got anything to give the prophet? Yeah, let's go. And God says, this is the one I told you about yesterday that I would send to you. We don't understand how the Lord uses circumstances to get us to our appointment. But the insight of that, this is the one I told you about yesterday that I would send to you today. How many of you would like to have that relationship with the Father? See, it comes with a price. The price is obedience to what the Lord is saying to you. Now, I want to run an experiment. Y'all like experiments? Survey says we love it when somebody else does it. No, I want to run one on you. Here's my observation. How many of you think that perhaps you heard or felt something in the last 25 minutes that God may have thumped your heart with? One of you, two of you, three of you, four of you, five, six, seven, okay. I guarantee you, you did not all hear the same thing. What you heard was what God wanted you to hear from Him today. But here's the dilemma. I'm going to dismiss you in the next 3 minutes. You're going to shake hands, wander off, do whatever it is you do. And if I were to ask you 1 week from today what God said to you last Sunday morning, you'd be going, some of you would be going, there's value in note-taking.
There will be a test.
But suppose that before you escaped into whatever the distractions were, you sat with some folks and said, you know what I sense the Lord saying to me today? And it might have nothing whatsoever to do with anything that was preached. That's the foolishness of preaching. You know, when he used that passage out of Genesis, I didn't get anywhere close to Genesis, but you did, because God took you there. And when you sit and say, I felt like the Lord was saying to me that he wants me to thus and so. And you sit with that bunch the next week and they say, so, did you thus and so? You go, I meant to, but I forgot. Can somebody help me not forget? Yeah, I'll call you. And now two of you are walking through the obedience to thus and so. Do you think there might be some actual spiritual maturity coming to your life? Okay? I do too, because I have found my accountability partners to be the greatest leverage in my life for the good of God to help me rule over my soul. So we're going to run an experiment starting March the 20th. For 13 weeks, we're going to modify the way we're formatted. You look in your bulletin, you see the new format. And we're going to include this thing, for lack of any better words, we're just saying connection groups. Because we believe that you can connect with the Holy Spirit. That He'll actually impress or say something specific to you. He will open up something in your soul that He wants you to look at with Him. Because He's intending for you to be free of that or to mature in this. So for 13 weeks, we're going to experiment together. We're going to give those of you who are willing to move forward an opportunity to move forward together at the close of our Sunday gathering, because I dismiss you and you don't leave anyway. So we may as well take advantage of that time. For those of you who leave right away, you need to know an hour and a half later, they're still sitting in this room talking
And I have to come in and say, the Koreans are coming, the Koreans are coming. Because the Korean church shows up at 2 o'clock, you've got to be out of here.
So we're going to sit around snacking and yakking about what you think you heard God say. And we're going to try to walk into it together. And at the first part of June, we're going to go, okay, time out. Is this serving us? If it's not serving us, we're done. If it's serving us, we'll reevaluate how to do it better. Okay? Now, I'm looking for ways to help us grow up. Because I don't think sitting here, listening, walking out and forgetting is all that helpful. I think we need to be intentional. So, you've got, what is today, the 6th? You got 2 weeks to make a decision. Whether or not you want to keep doing whatever it is you're doing and keep being whatever it is you think you are, or if you want to try to be a bit more intentional. So I'm going to ask you to engage your own thoughts before the Lord about how serious you are at this season of your life and moving forward. Now, I'm not fool enough to think we're going to have 100% participation. I'm just not that naive anymore. But I do believe that there are people associated with this congregation who really would like to mature in God. And so we want to attempt this together. My appeal is for you to consider attempting it with us. For me, it's like this. You've got nothing to lose and possibly good to gain.
So I'll be back up here on the 20th, and I'll teach something to see if you can listen. Because now you know the importance of listening intently, attentively, carefully, with the expectation
that you're going to obey.
And it will be important. Let me pray over you. Why don't y'all stand?
It's unusual for me to not find my thoughts drift to the day when I will stand before the Lord and give an account of my life to Him. Each of us has such an appointment, but mine weighs heavily on me because it's not just my life He'll review. It's my influence on your life. I want to be able to say with clarity, Lord, I tried. I tried to help them connect with you so they can stand here in good conscience. To that end, I'm going to keep stirring and provoking us, so that none of us are disappointed on that day. And that we see in one another the testimony of God's grace on display through human faces. That's in my heart for us. And I appreciate your patience in our experiments to make you better. Father, the foolishness of preaching continues to amaze me. And the astonishing way you say stuff only this one, that one, and the other will hear. Now, as we are looking to be more intentional about our obedience to you so that we know more about you, I pray for grace to come to that conclusion for us, that we will experience together an increasing understanding of who our God is. And that there will be net gain in our lives as we attempt to intentionally obey what we hear the Spirit say. I invite you, Lord, to stir our hearts toward that end and to give us wisdom beyond our years so that we can see how we are to position ourselves with you in this changing flux of world circumstances. I ask for your grace and patience with us and for your love and encouragement through us as we attempt to hold on to you and one another, as we reach forward into the future to more ably represent the person of Jesus Christ on display through us. Amen. Well, we like praying with folks. If you're here and you need prayer this morning for any reason, you come right on up. We'll lay hands on you and see what God will do. Otherwise, I encourage you to visit with one another for a little bit.